Welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep, minute by minute, into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I am one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John.
And we are back again for this Wednesday episode. We are covering minute 152 through 153. John, I got a fair amount of notes on this one, so what do you say we dive in?
Let's go.
Let's do it. So, we left off on a very climactic part of the movie. Paul's got a knife at his face.
Inches away.
Inches away, holding on to that blade. I hope he's got gloves on. I hope he's got knife-proof gloves on. And I think we're going to... I would like to spend a little bit of time talking about the logistics of what we're about to see. Because okay. It took me three or four watches to fully get it.
Okay.
And I didn't fully get it until later on in this minute, thankfully.
Sure.
So... Paul kind of does like a, he's got Fade's blade in his hand.
In his right hand, specifically.
Yes, right hand specifically.
Yeah.
And then he does like a quick twisting motion, and we hear off screen another stab.
We hear a thud.
Sure.
Yeah. Of their two bodies.
Some kind of impact, yeah.
Colliding together.
Paul continues panting, and Fade's face kind of goes slack. Like the intensity bleeds out of his face.
A little bit.
A little bit. A little bit.
Pun fully intended.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Like he goes from an intense stare down Paul's eyes to a more neutral, far off stare.
And they both kind of begin to like fall together.
Yeah.
And in the background...
And they kiss again, which was weird.
They're like full tongue this time. Like yeah. It's really just... weird. Because in the background, and we see through them being out of focus, we're looking at Chani in focus, and she's just like, yeah. Yo, what the fuck?
Someone yells, get a room? No, they do. They start to drop, and they're holding on... Or Fade is holding on to Paul now, not to keep him there, but to keep himself up.
Yeah.
At this point. And Johnny's like, what the fuck just happened? Because most people, I don't think, could see what just happened.
What just happened?
Well, Paul got him.
He done got him?
He done got him in the gut. Right in the abdomen.
Oof.
Yeah. So.
Right in the aorta.
It's in your neck, isn't it?
No. The aorta runs through your entire body. You're thinking of the carotid artery in the jugular vein.
Oh, okay.
Of which there's one on either side of your neck.
Yeah.
Oh, the aorta is the big fat one that runs basically right along your spine on the inside of your body.
Oh, okay. Got it.
It's if you nick that,
you're done.
Instantly.
So Fade looks down, and the camera gets to look down now, and we see Paul's blade deeply embedded into Fade.
Now, so much so that Paul's hand is resting against Fade's armor.
It is, yeah, to the hilt.
Yeah.
All the way in.
And we've seen this before.
Well, okay, go.
We saw this before when Paul, back when we were talking with Martin, when Paul was like, but there is a way. We get a very quick flash of Paul's hand on his Chris knife.
Yeah. Okay.
Sneaky.
Love a callback. Call forward, I guess, at that point.
Foreshadowing?
But yep. It's not really foreshadowing if he's seeing
it. No, it's not really.
He's seeing it directly happen.
Whatever the literary device for that is.
Prescience. We'll call it prescience.
Sure.
So the part that I don't quite understand is Paul's blade was inside of him.
To the hilt. Yep.
So since he had his left hand on his blade.
How did he
pull it out of him, flip it around, and then stab?
Well, he wouldn't have had to.
I guess it's just like if you pull it out with your hand upside down or like your palm facing up.
With the thumb facing outward.
Yeah, you could flip it around pretty quick.
You could
quick.
Flip the blade around. But
there's
like
still there's not that much space.
And Paul's Chris knife isn't small either. Like,
no.
Like how do you do that without Fade noticing?
Right.
Okay. Glad you and I have the same like what the fuck was that kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I thought that he did the same move that Fade did to hit him earlier, and kind of like waxed on, waxed off his own blade into his chest.
Yeah.
With that twisting motion. That's what I thought happened, because we don't really see where Fade's blade went.
We
see it in a little bit.
We'll see it in a moment.
But in this moment, we haven't seen where it went.
Correct.
So, that's what I thought. He, got him with his own blade and kind of used Fade's forward momentum to, like you said, close the gap, but also close themselves in on his blade, if that makes sense. It was very strange. It was cool, but it was very strange. Anything else to say on the killing blow?
Nope.
Spoilers.
Fade's not doing too hot.
No, Fade is fading out.
All right, dude.
I'm almost certain that I made that joke when we talked earlier about it, too.
And with his fade out, we get his last words.
Mm-hmm.
You fought well, Atreides.
Ah, what a callback.
Love a callback. Love a callback.
Love a callback. Same thing he said to Lanville after he murked Lanville.
Mm-hmm.
Paul kind of pushes him backwards and yanks his knife out, and Fade just drops.
Instant dead. Yeah. And then we get the moment in the movie that I think made all of us chuckle.
Yes.
When Stilgar just goes, Lisa no Gabe.
Oh, you gotta love him. He's so happy. The in between Fade dropping and Stilgar shouting out, we do get a shot of the Emperor kind of just staring down at Fade's body like, fuck. Oh, this ain't good.
Fuck. Yeah, we get the Lisa no Gaib, and then the crowd goes wild.
That's right.
Gurney, Jessica, and Chani are all able to breathe finally. Mm-hmm. And
Jessica
Paul
does go back to being stern pretty quickly.
Pretty quickly, but she's a little relieved right now. Still. Yeah. But Paul is still on his knees, and he looks over to Shaddam and Irulan, who both respectively look down off to the side and keep staring directly at him.
Yeah.
And Paul's right shoulder.
Before we get to that, real quick.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about Chani's face just for a second.
Okay.
So her mouth is slightly agape here, because she's a little bit in shock.
She's a little on the kind of getting ready to cry. Are you going to cry?
You cried? I screamed earlier.
Getting ready to cry, and her mouth is quivering a little bit.
Yeah.
She's definitely not like the hard ass that she was a few minutes ago.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if this was me projecting emotions onto her.
Okay.
Or, trying to read into it too much. But I took this as she looks relieved, but also kind of not relieved. Like, had Paul died, it would have solved a lot of her concerns.
It would have.
Honestly, it would have. She would have been sad, I'm sure, but it would have fixed a lot of problems that she had with the way that the world was working right now.
Yep.
So I feel like she's so torn.
On one hand, I love you and I don't want you to die. But on the other hand, you're kind of a dick.
And you're becoming a homicidal maniac. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got the sense that she was, I don't know, just there was a hint of dread in the way she looks as well.
Yeah.
Which, if that was what was supposed to be conveyed, fucking good acting on Zendaya's part, because I got it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to point that out before we get to the figuring out where Fade's knife went.
Well, we know where it went. It went directly into Paul's right shoulder.
Yeah.
And I, once again, went to google.com, mm-hmm. and in the search bar typed in cardiovascular map torso.
Okay.
To me, where Paul is stabbed, looks like this blade has completely severed his axillary artery.
Okay.
Let me tell you something about the axillary artery.
Not a good one.
Carries a lot of blood.
Yeah, not
to your arm.
You don't want to cut these things open.
No. You're going to bleed out pretty quick. Not as fast as, say, a femoral artery bleed, but mm-hmm. still, like, you got a minute, maybe. And Paul, in all of his wisdom here, just slowly begins to pull this knife out of this body. And there is a lovely, and I'd say that sarcastically, lovely sound of just viscera tearing and like flesh like being cut as this blade is leaving. It's not a good sound.
No, it's not. So yeah, minute ends as Paul is hopefully more than halfway done with pulling this knife out.
Yeah.
Because yeah, it is not, doesn't look fun, doesn't sound fun.
Mm-mm.
Can we headcanon a little bit?
Okay.
Maybe. Just maybe.
It just misses his axillary artery?
Well, not even that. Maybe it got it. Maybe it didn't. Still suits are very good at preserving water and keeping water in the body.
Sure, but...
maybe they are able to exert enough pressure. I know pressure is not going to solve this problem.
But pressure is what is needed.
Yes.
To stop... Okay.
They can do enough to contain it. Maybe. That's the only way out of this that I can see.
Yeah. That definitely is the one that like makes the most sense, whether or not it's real.
Because it's never explained.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing that I've ever read explains that. But if we're going to search for answers, that's the answer I got to go with.
Yeah. And I mean, we've seen before that they like fucking yank on the tightening straps. So. All right. I'll buy it for $1.
All right, cool. So Fade in the book also dies.
Fade Rotha?
Fade Rotha Harkonnen, yes. I mentioned yesterday we don't get the whole subplot of the hip blade.
Correct.
There's also some play with poisons in the books. A lot of they love a poison tipped knife in the books.
Yeah, who doesn't?
They use them a lot. Paul gets nicked with it. He has to really fight through the poison spreading through his body.
Good thing he got all that Prana Bindu training.
That's right. Yep. There's a bunch of tricks within tricks with Fade, doing some like over fainting and pretending to be more unstable than he really is so that Paul gets,
psyched out.
Psyched out. Yeah, pretty much. Paul reminds himself at one point on the left hip. That's because it was supposed to be on the right hip, the needle. That's where it's traditionally worn.
Sure.
On his right hip, but Fade puts it on his left hip. He's a tricky little bugger.
Fade's sneaky, man. Yeah. He's poisoning the white blade instead of the black blade. Mm-hmm. He's swapping the needle from his right hip to his left hip.
Yeah.
And what's next in his bag of tricks?
The biggest trick that supposedly is here is that Fade has like a cutoff word.
Like a safe word?
Pretty much, yeah. Let me scroll through the book here and see if I can find
it. And then he said, banana.
Yeah, so before the fight, Jessica pulls Paul aside and she says, she pitched your voice for Paul's ears alone.
Okay.
She says, one thing, son, sometimes a dangerous person is prepared by the Bene Gesserit, a word implanted into the deepest recesses by the old pleasure pain methods. The word sound most frequently used is Uroshnor.
Uroshnor.
And that is capital U-R-O-S-H-N-O-R.
Okay.
If this one's been prepared, as I strongly suspect, the word uttered into his ear would render his muscles flaccid and Paul then cuts her off and says, I want no special advantage for this one. So that is not introduced, which I completely understand.
It'd be a little weird.
That'd be a very strange thing to do.
Yep.
Paul whispers sweet nothings into Fade's ear and he just goes flaccid.
Goes limp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Normally it's the other way around where you whisper sweet nothings into your whoever person's ear and they are not flaccid.
I said earlier, Paul gets a little bit of poison nicked into him. Fade gets a little bit of poison nicked into him from Paul's Chris knife. Because as you know, the Chris knife has a little hollow bit in it. Sometimes sure. I like to put poison in it.
Yeah.
After we see the hip, Fade goes, you see it there on my hip, Fade said. He says, your death, fool. And then, like, there's some back and forth with the blades. Paul's evading the hip thrusts from Vade, trying to get him with his hip dagger.
Yep.
Which, come on, that's just that's a metaphor for penis, right?
I mean, knowing Frank's weird sexual, like, not so innuendos in these books. Be. Yeah. It's
gotta be. Anyways.
But I don't know. It's not about a breeding fetish, so maybe not.
Who knows? Fade's trying to stab him with a something protruding from his hips.
All right.
At one point, Paul sees his opening, and he thrusts his knife underneath Fade's jaw directly into his brain.
Yeah, that's if the Lynch movie got one thing right.
Yeah. That is a little bit gruesome to show in a, what is this movie rated, PG-13?
Yep.
Okay. Can't show that. Although they should have, cause that's that would have been better.
Would have been awesome. But yeah. I did like the way that Denis and, you know, the rest of the production team and Roger Yuan choreographed this to include the "you fought well, Atreides."
Yes. That makes it better. Makes it a lot better.
Yeah.
And that's the end of Fade. Paul finds this opening, stabs him up into his brain, and of course you don't really have much time after that. You're dead.
Mm-hmm.
And he just slumps to the ground, and then we are caught back up where we are in the movie.
Ta-da!
So, that is that. Rest in peace, Fade Rautha Harkonnen.
Good job, Austin Butler.
Good job, yes.
Going from Elvis to this.
I think he did a fantastic job with it.
Being brought on to play Fade, like, you got to be a special kind of actor to do that. Like,
no,
because you really want an actor that can just get in that fucking headspace.
Well, I found him. Yeah. We've done a lot of like fantasy casting on the show before. I don't think we've ever given Fade / Austin Butler a second thought because it just plays it so well.
Well, we did have our, I think I cut it from the episode when I edited it, but we did have our Josh Brolin's Dune starring Josh Brolin Josh Brolin and Josh Brolin, which I think would have been fun.
Yeah, but, where he clumps it. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know who else I could have.
If you wanted to throw one more Skarsgård in, the scary kid.
Bill,
yeah.
Yeah.
The creepy one.
I mean, Bill Skarsgård could be Edric.
It's true. It's like, is that on the table?
I don't know.
He could for sure play him.
Yeah. They haven't announced an Edric casting, so.
Got to have a Skarsgård in a Dune. I think he could have done a good Fade. I don't know too many. This is going to sound stupid from a person who talks about movies all the time. I don't know a lot of actors these days.
Yeah. I just don't know who else fits that mold of like,
yeah, I don't know. He does a good job. So
yeah.
Austin Butler, hats off to you.
Good job.
So that is all I got for today.
I don't have anything else. So,
all right, cool. Well, let's pick back up tomorrow. I'll let you do the outro because you hate it when I do it.
No, you can do it.
No.
Zach, we only have so many episodes left.
You can find us on Blue Sky, DuneMinute.com. We have an email address, DuneMinute@gmail.com. We would love to talk to you there.
At least sound happy about
it. That's what it is. I got the words right.
All right, we'll see y'all tomorrow.
See ya.